Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the second day of June 2022. I'm your host, Mark Call. And while the worldwide implosion continues, economically, medically, physically, and of course, spiritually, there are some interesting developments in the way that it's playing out. And on that front, I'm going to start out today with another new segment that I'm going to call Admissions from Evil. Sometimes, and we're used to seeing this, they do it because they're virtue signaling, and they think that evil is really so hip that they want you to know just how evil they are. That usually means they're fixing to follow up with a mandate. And other times, they just want to rub your noses in it because they don't think there's anything you can do to stop them. And we've got examples of both today. Let's start with what was once the proud branch of the American military services called the United States Marines. Now, disgustingly, it looks like all they've got left is pride, and it's not in their ability to defend the country either. But it is certainly a month to celebrate what the Bible, back when we had one in the military services, called abominations, and they're not going to miss out. Says Tyler Durden for Zero Hedge, they are being mocked, however, because with Pride Month upon us, it's not uncommon to see woke companies try to virtue signal with rainbow everything. And at this point, folks, I have to add in my own explanation. In order to let us know just how excited they are about abominations and how much they hate everything that would have once been called truth, justice, and the American way, especially if it aligns with Scripture, having sold out to the LGBTQ plus etc. community, lest they be considered unwoke. And not wanting to be left out of the race to outright Satanism, the United States Marine Corps has joined in, officially tweeting a photo of a Marine helmet with bullets painted in rainbow colors on the strap. And here's the official announcement that goes with that sellout. Quote, throughout June, they say, the USMC takes hashtag pride in recognizing and honoring the contributions of our LGBTQ service members. We remain committed to fostering an environment free from discrimination.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
And defend the values of treating all equally with dignity and respect. Unless, of course, you believe in the God of the Bible and read his book. Or don't want to take the poison poke when we say to you, grunt maggot surf you. And it's signed with hashtags like Pride Month and hashtag USMC. Zero Hedge, however, along with your host, couldn't help but note that the Marines seem to be divisive when it comes to political correctness replacing their mission to defend the country. And many took offense at the idiotic, disgusting meme, like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, whose press secretary, Christina Pushaw, tweeted, seriously, how does fixating on differences foster cohesion and unity? China is laughing at us, said another. Do we only shoot gay bullets now? Asked a third. And this is not a good look, Shane, said the Code of Vets. It makes us look weak, ridiculous. And that, of course, is undeniably, painfully clear. Oh, yeah, and I guess I'll do this one, too. I will have to do a bit of editing on it. But it sounds like an actual real Marine before they went limp-wristed woke who says, F*** out of here with this. We don't take political sides, and we don't engage in social commentary. We kill the enemy, period. Your host has to ask, are there still Marines around that know who the real enemy actually is? From there, let's go to an example where the evil just comes right out and rubs your face in it. Although I guess you could make a case that the previous one kind of fits in that category too. Anyway, here you go. Yep, evil sometimes does nowadays come right out and admit it. Adolf did, at least when he talked about the big lie. So does Tyrannical Tony, once in a while. Here he is appearing on Fox News with Neil Cavuto, asked about whether or not the mask mandate is going to be appealed, and why. Is it just all about power? The answer is, yeah, it is.
Wait, are you asking me what I think about the Justice Department appealing court decision about pulling back?
Exactly.
One of the issues, Neil, that I have articulated in the past, and I will in the future, it's less about mandates on the plane than it is about who has the right and the authority and the capability of making public health decisions.
You peons certainly don't have any rights or any authority to make any decisions. Listen to it again. And note the obvious underlying assumption here. Constitution, rule of law, be damned.
Who has the right and the authority and the capability of making public health decisions? And I believe that the Department of Justice is operating on the principle that decisions that are public health decisions belong with the public health agency, in this case, the CDC. So it's more of a matter of principle of where the authority lies than it is about whether or not there's going to be a mandate on a plane or not.
The mandate is secondary. We have the authority to do anything we blankety-blanking-well want to you, and we will.
So it's more of a matter of principle of where the authority lies
and where it doesn't
than it is about whether or not there's going to be a mandate on a plane or not.
Do you think people like this actually want you armed or even able to choose life as opposed to whatever it is they have planned? I'll say it again. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. Finally, I guess we have to have the comic relief admission from evil. I don't know what's going on. Well, I was clueless all along, but that's why I'm in such a position of power and authority. And the so-called Secretary of the Treasury doesn't even have the excuse of senility. These are the same people that tried to tell you once upon a time that inflation was transitory, whereas now it's obviously staggering. And they don't have a clue yet what's going on, although they do seem to know how to make it a whole hell of a lot worse. And on that score, they're not as incompetent as they seem. Anyway, here we go. This is Janet Yellen, who arguably laid the groundwork for hyperinflation when she was Fed chair. She did, of course, have plenty of help. Finally admitting in an interview on Tuesday that she was wrong when it comes to the path that inflation would take, i.e. through the roof. And let's be clear about this, folks. Anybody that's been listening to this news show has known what path inflation was going to take for years now. And why? And her late-to-the-party claim of ignorance is nothing but a pitiful excuse.
I think I was wrong then about the path that inflation would take. As I mentioned, there have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly that I didn't, at the time, didn't fully understand.
Do you think? Trouble is, she doesn't. And the problem is, clueless people like this are letting those who intend to destroy the entire economy get away with it in their stupidity. While we're on the subject, here's a related admission from the Congressional Budget Office that has now released a report squarely placing the high, incredible, and increasing rate of inflation on the fake president marionette-in-chief's stimulus efforts. What? And yeah, they missed a whole bunch of other things, too. You didn't think they would fess up entirely, did you? During the height of the COVID-1984 pandemic, in which the CBO noted that the Biden Fuhrer is culpable for the historically high rate of inflation, which has created undue pressure on America's workforce in their latest annual report. And the so-called nonpartisan CBO report also says that the marionette's puppet masters and their so-called remedy, increasing taxes, will only make things worse. Oh, yeah, you drive people to the wall, folks, by destroying their businesses, destroying the supply chains, cutting off pipelines, destroying energy sources, crippling the power grid, while, amazingly, forcing people to buy electric cars that they're not going to be able to charge pretty soon anyway, all the while printing money like there's no tomorrow, and then decide, since you can't afford to pay your bills anyway, let's just tax you right over the cliff. And maybe since you realize now that you're a dead man walking because we poison poked you, you'll decide to commit suicide before we have to release the next plandemic. Well, folks, like I said, admissions like this come slowly, but at least they've come part way. The annual CBO Economic Outlook squarely blames Biden's 2021 COVID stimulus bill for at least part of today's high inflation, says the Gateway Pundit summary. They note that the stimulus checks sent to Americans in 2021 significantly boosted demand, causing inflationary pressure. And furthermore, Biden's COVID stimulus artificially slowed the recovery of labor force participation by paying workers not to work. So the continued lack of employees then strained supply chains, which were already near the breaking point as a result of other stupidity, creating an additional upward source of pressure on consumer prices. You see how it works? They didn't think you'd figure it out. Janet Yellen still hadn't. Meanwhile, Jamie Dimon, infamous CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, probably knew what was coming all along because big banksters have been a big part of the problem. But now it seems it's time he too can admit it. He's preparing, he says, the biggest U.S. banksters for an economic hurricane now on the horizon and advised investors to do the same. Quote, "You know, I said there's storm clouds, but I'm going to change it. It's a hurricane," said Dimon Wednesday at a financial conference in New York City. "While conditions may seem fine," he said, "at the moment, nobody knows if the hurricane is, quote, a minor one or Superstorm Sandy. So you'd better brace yourself," he told the room full of analysts and investors. "JP Morgan is bracing ourselves, and we're going to be very conservative with our balance sheet." But no, folks, he didn't come right out and say, buy gold and silver, although those who can see hyperinflation and understand history have been doing that, especially during the price suppression here and what amounts to a manipulated subsidy of the real stuff. He even warned that, I'll put it this way, that stupid people still thinks, he says everyone thinks, the Fed can handle this. But the hurricane's right out there, quote, down the road, coming our way. Two things have Jamie worried. First, the Fed has signaled they'll reverse their emergency bond buying to infinity programs and shrink their balance sheet. This is called quantitative tightening, or QT, kind of sort of the opposite of spending like there's no tomorrow and covering it up by buying back their own newly printed bonds. It's scheduled to begin this month and ramp up to $95 billion a month in reduced bond holdings over time. Quote, "We've never had QT like this," he said, "so you're looking at something you could be writing history books on for 50 years. No doubt, folks, as your host has suggested for a long time now, ever since I've been warning about this inevitable meltdown on inflation, along with every other Austrian economist out there, they're going to call this the real Great Depression. But, said Dimon, several aspects of quantitative easing programs have now backfired, including negative interest rates, which he called a huge mistake, saying central banks don't have a choice because there's too much liquidity in the system. They have to remove some of that liquidity to stop the speculation, reduce home prices, and stuff like that. But the other thing that's worrying Jamie Dimon is the war in Ukraine and its impact on, well, everything. From commodities, including food and oil, to the question of whether or not, even if he didn't come right out and say it, people will be alive a year from now. Oil, he said, almost has to go up in price because of disruptions caused by the European conflict, the worst since World War II. Potentially, oil prices will hit $150 or $175 bucks a barrel, said Jamie Dimon. And wars, he added, go bad. They can go south in unintended consequences. And we're not taking the proper actions to protect Europe from what's going to happen to oil in the short run, unquote. And some of us have suggested, because it's pretty well undeniable at this point, this was deliberate, folks. Nobody is really this stupid. Although, yes, there really are those who intend to kill billions while they profit massively from it and laugh about it. And I don't want to overlook this next item, since we're kind of sort of at least on the subject of economic meltdown. ADP employment data, says a piece from Zero Hedge, has now signaled the weakest labor market since the COVID-19 pandemic and the associated planned and well-orchestrated collapse. So they begin, while various sentiment measures of employment have sagged notably of late, with ISM manufacturing employment dropping into the contraction range, it's perhaps surprising that analysts still, misguidedly as it turns out, expected ADP to show a 300,000 job gain in May, up from 247K in April. However, the analysts were wrong, very wrong. May showed an addition of only 128,000 alleged new jobs, while April was revised downward dramatically to a 202K addition, which is the weakest monthly ADP jobs print since April 2020, led by a plunge in small business employment, which was once called the backbone of the economy. But the backbone, as is now obvious, has been broken. Small businesses, they say, have now lost 278,000 jobs over the last 4 months. On the World War III front, we've got yet another admission from evil. Zero Hedge's summary calls it a stunning, but perhaps not entirely unexpected, admission that the United States military, woke and dumbed down and fully Zyklon B poisoned poked, in other words, working hard to self-destruct, has been conducting offensive cyber operations in support of Biden's criminal mob boss buddies in Ukraine. and it marks the first ever such acknowledgement openly and suggests, as many observers have long suspected, a deeper Pentagon, or pentagram as some are now calling it, and U.S. intelligence role in Ukraine against the Russian military than previously thought. And it could be, folks, that eventually, if they keep making admissions like this, they will succeed in getting the Russian bear not only to poke back, but nuke the United States. After all, they keep doing everything except declaring open war. National Security Agency, NSA, once so completely denied they called it no such agency, but that too has been admitted. And U.S. Cyber Command Director General Paul Nakasone told the U.K.'s Sky News on Wednesday, quote, "We've conducted a series of operations across the full spectrum, offensive, defensive, information operations, including," he said, "offensive hacking operations." And without going into specific details, he continued, "My job is to provide a series of options to the Secretary of Defense, traitorous Lloyd Austin, in case you've forgotten, and the fake president." He didn't put the word fake in there, but he should have. Are we really supposed to believe he expects that doddering senile diaper wearer to actually make a military decision? "So," he said, "that's what I do." And deep state minion that he obviously is, he didn't miss the opportunity to try to claim that Russia is looking to interfere in the midterm elections. Why, if those evil Ruskies have their way, the Republicans will take back both the House and the Senate. So rest assured, they're not going to allow that. Quote, "We had an opportunity to start talking about what particularly the Russians were trying to do in our midterm elections. We saw it again in 2020 as we talked about what the Russians and Iranians were going to do, but this was on a smaller scale," unquote. Yeah, I guess it wasn't big enough to overturn the other interference in the election, using things like rigged voting machines, bogus electronic counts, mule stuffing ballot boxes that U.S. communists and big city mob bosses had so carefully orchestrated and unleashed in the middle of the night. And when it comes to asking yourself whether or not it's easy to see that this guy is lying through his evil teeth, a bit of Occam's razor is apropos. Just ask yourself a question. If you really truly wanted to destroy the United States, reduce it to ashes, and completely eliminate it as a power on the global stage, could you have picked a better way to do it than installing a senile, diaper-wearing idiot, not to mention past his prime mob boss and communist puppet, in the White House, all the while undermining the United States economy? Oh, and its military to boot? Zero Hedge makes a similar point this way, quoting The Hill, which says, listen to this, "Experts have warned that Russia will likely deploy its cyber operations in the 2022 midterm elections, which may take different forms, including disinformation campaigns and election hacking. The experts also said that Russia's playbook is to divide the I'll try to read this without cracking up here, is to divide the U.S. along party lines and suppress voter turnout," unquote. However, says Zero Hedge, it's laughable to think that it somehow takes a foreign actor to divide the United States along party lines, as if this is some new phenomenon. Or for that matter, folks, to think that when dead people, people who have moved to who knows how many different places in the meanwhile, oh yeah, and foreign invaders by the millions are voting in U.S. elections, while mules run copy machines at 3 a.m. to stuff drop boxes, that's somehow suppressing voter turnout. They really do think Americans are that stupid. But I guess since they've been putting up with it and seem to be allowing themselves to be disarmed and their kids killed en masse too, maybe it's getting harder to argue otherwise. And I guess on the how stupid do they really think Americans are front, it's maybe tough to top this one, courtesy of John Rappaport via Lou Rockwell and, of course, the New York Times when it comes to the they really think you're stupid department. "I'm loving this one," he begins. "The Times has a new piece about the anti-vax movement," and he actually quotes it here. Let's see if we can stand to read it. "The anti-vax movement's new frontier. A wave of parents has been radicalized by COVID-era misinformation to reject ordinary childhood immunizations with potentially lethal consequences," unquote. And say it with me, folks. Booga, booga, booga. And Friday morning, says Rappaport, they sent out an email blast to promote their propaganda article. And as Rappaport puts it, the Times really had to stretch to come up with a load like this one. And I'll skip over some of the really insulting stuff and just get to the insidious. In 2019, even before the plandemic, and they misspelled it, struck, the WHO, World Health Organization, listed growing vaccine hesitancy as one of its top 10 threats to global health. Now, the plandemic has given anti-vaccine advocates an opportunity to field test a variety of messages and find new recruits. Now, I love Rappaport's riposte to this one. He says, yep, our anti-vax squadrons use dozens of human and AI analysts to float our messages and then test the results. We use polls, surveys, in-home visits, NSA-type surveillance tools. We tap your cell phones, read your text, you know, and even covert assets in the press to expand our reach. Elite Foundation money, too, pours into our coffers. All right, I guess he's made the point. Back to the New York Times and their load of crap. There's a lot of misinformation about the COVID vaccines, and it just bleeds into everything. One doctor told us, these fake stories and bad information get stuck in people's heads, and they understandably get confused, unquote. And, oh yeah, really? One whole doctor told the Times that? Well, case closed. Verdict. We're guilty. The doctor is always right. Oops. Wait a minute, he says. I just called a doctor. He told me the Times doctor is wrong. Duel at dawn. Choice of weapons. Alright, I'm gonna skip some of the rest of this, but I think Rappaport pretty well nails it. Nowhere in the Times, though, ever will we read an actual debate on the subject of vaccines, or even not vaccines, in which two sides are adequately represented and allowed, even given ample space, to present a little thing called evidence. Well, or even fake evidence. Because any such debate would be demeaning for the gray lady, the arbiter of all things truth. It would signal, he says, a departure from their perch, which constantly advertises, if we say it, you'd better believe it, because we know it. Finally today, folks, while some evil is openly admitting what they're up to, others are still lying through their teeth and pretending that they're not evil. Major case in point, of course, Microsoft's founder, Bill Gates, who doesn't really come right out and say that he wants to kill a billion people or so, although he does come pretty close, especially if they're Africans and he wants to test new vaccines on them. But isn't it interesting that every time he seems to invest a few $100 million in some anti-human, new high-tech way of undermining humanity and killing people in the process, whether it's farms before the famine or new vaccines right before the pandemic, about the time somebody runs a tabletop simulation, and sometimes even before Big Brother drops the mandates, shazam! Turns out he was right all along and makes a few billion more. This piece, and I'm only going to touch a bit of it here, comes via Dr. Mercola's website and theburningplatform.com, entitled Fake Meat, Fake Breast Milk, and Food Shortages. And yep, Bill Gates appears to be behind a push to stop breastfeeding and encourage the uptake of, well, guess what? He has a new cell-cultured human milk made in a lab just in time, along with other varieties of fake food. His is called Bio-Milk. It isn't as clever. He spells it with a Q. What, like LGBTQ? Maybe the word queer does apply to fake breast milk. In June 2020, he said, Bill Gates announced a startup company, BioMilQ, which is using biotech to create lab-made human, supposedly, milk for babies. They use mammary epithelial cells placed in flasks with cell culture media. The cells grow, and they're placed in a bioreactor that the company says recreates conditions similar to the breasts. And I gotta ask, why not just go with a real one? It's been funded with a multi-million dollar investment from Gates' surrogate firm, Breakthrough Energy Ventures. And by the way, says Dr. Mercola, Gates has also contributed at least $319 million to the media, including The Guardian, allowing him to control and dictate what they print about, among other things, these fake foods. Why, the day after the Gates Foundation paid The Guardian its annual funding in May of this year, they released a hit piece on breastfeeding entitled, Turns Out Breastfeeding Really Does Hurt. Why does no one tell you? Answer, oh, they will, folks, now that Gates pays for it. Writes Dr. Mercola, fake food is being billed as a panacea to end world hunger and food shortages. But there's nothing miraculous about synthetic, lab-made food, which can't compare to real food that comes from nature in terms of either nutrition or environmental protection, as we're seeing with the mysterious infant formula shortages. And isn't the timing amazing? When you're dependent on fake food, your very survival is also dependent on the handful of, guess who owns them too, companies that manufacture them, and may pretty soon manage to get them mandated too. Says Dr. Mercola, given how desperate parents are getting in the search for infant formula, it's eye-opening that campaigns haven't been started to encourage new mothers to, well, guess what, breastfeed. But if you think about that for just a second, folks, it's just so politically incorrect on just about every leftist front. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.